Welcome to the NARcast Tech Briefing. I'm host A.
And I'm host B.
Today, we are looking at a story that feels like it was pulled straight from a science fiction novel, but it represents a massive win for history and archaeology.
That's right. For the very first time, an entire Herculaneum scroll has been virtually unwrapped and read entirely by artificial intelligence.
We are going to dive deep into how machine learning managed to read carbonized ink on carbonized papyrus that hasn't been opened since the year 79 AD.
It is a stunning breakthrough. And later in the show, we'll hit our roundup, including Apple's surprising price hikes across its MacBooks and iPads.
We'll also cover the failing age verification laws in Australia, a critical telemetry issue in Claude Code, and we'll take a moment to remember the legacy of tech journalism pioneer Om Malik.
It's a packed episode, so let's get right into it. So let's start with the Herculaneum scrolls. This is one of those rare stories where cutting-edge artificial intelligence intersects perfectly with ancient history. Researchers have officially achieved the first complete virtual unwrapping and reading of a closed scroll. Specifically, this is the scroll designated as P. Herc 1667, and the results are staggering. The team managed to reveal approximately 1.5 meters of text. That's nearly 5 feet of continuous writing spread across 20 columns.
And the most important part of this achievement is that they did it without ever physically opening the scroll. These artifacts are incredibly fragile. They were buried by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius nearly 2,000 years ago, which essentially turned them into lumps of charcoal.
Right. If you try to unroll them manually, they just crumble into dust. For centuries, this entire collection has been intellectually inaccessible. It's the only intact library we have from the classical world, containing roughly 1,800 scrolls. We've known they were there since they were discovered in the 18th century, but they've been locked away.
To give a bit more context on the history here, the Herculaneum Library was discovered in 1752 by workers digging a well. They struck the remains of a massive Roman villa, which is now known as the Villa of the Papyri, believed to have been owned by Julius Caesar's father-in-law, Lucius Calpurnius Piso.
When they first found these black, lumpy objects, they thought they were just briquettes of charcoal or burned wood. It wasn't until someone noticed faint lettering on a piece that broke off that they realized they had uncovered an entire library.
And the early attempts to read them were barbaric by today's standards. They literally sliced them in half or poured mercury over them to try and force the layers apart. They did manage to unroll a few, but they destroyed the physical integrity of the scrolls in the process.
Which makes this virtual unwrapping so revolutionary. The breakthrough comes courtesy of the Vesuvius Challenge and a team led by Brent Seals at the University of Kentucky. They pioneered a method using high-resolution X-ray scans from a particle accelerator combined with custom machine learning models.
The technical hurdle they had to overcome is fascinating. The ink used by the Romans and Greeks was carbon-based, and it's resting on carbonized papyrus. So to a standard X-ray, or even to the human eye, there is zero contrast. It all just looks like charcoal.
Exactly. But the machine learning models weren't looking for color contrast. They were trained to detect microscopic changes in the surface texture and thickness where the ink had been applied to the papyrus.
And they didn't just have to find the ink. They had to map it in three-dimensional space. The virtual unwrapping process involves mathematically flattening these 3D scans. The papyrus inside the scroll is wrinkled, crushed, and folded over itself multiple times.
It's a massive computational challenge. You have to trace the individual layers of papyrus through the CT scan volume, which is an incredibly tedious process, and then map the detected ink onto that newly flattened digital surface.
The Vesuvius Challenge was launched in 2023 by Nat Friedman, Daniel Gross, and Brent Seals. They essentially gamified this incredibly niche scientific problem by providing the high-resolution 3D CT scans of two intact scrolls and offering cash prizes for anyone who could develop machine learning tools to detect the ink.
And the community responded. The open source collaboration was unprecedented, with people sharing code and building on each other's segmentation algorithms. The team that finally cracked this scroll used a combination of 3D convolutional neural networks. These models are incredibly data hungry, and one of the biggest challenges was simply generating enough training data, which meant manually finding tiny specks of ink in the 3D scans to teach the AI what to look for.
Now that they've proven this pipeline works on a full scroll, the Vesuvius challenge has upped the ante. They just announced a new $1 million prize for the first team to fully read any other scroll from the collection.
That financial incentive is huge, and it's going to drive a lot of innovation. They've open-sourced their data and their models, which really democratizes this whole field of digital heritage science.
I think what's most exciting is the sheer volume of text that might now be recovered. We're talking about a library that could contain lost works of Epicurean philosophy, maybe lost plays by Sophocles, or historical accounts that could fundamentally rewrite our understanding of the ancient world.
The text they recovered from this first scroll is fascinating. It discusses music, food, and how the enjoyment of life is affected by the scarcity of resources. It's a deeply human text, written by a philosopher who lived thousands of years ago, brought back to life by 21st century artificial intelligence.
And the implications go way beyond just Herculaneum. If you can use particle accelerators and AI to read a charred piece of papyrus, what else can you read? Water-damaged manuscripts and other archives? Faded palimpsests that were scraped and written over?
Right. It completely changes the calculus of preservation. You no longer have to risk destroying an artifact to study it. You just need a high enough resolution scan and a smart enough algorithm.
Though it does raise an interesting question about the timeline. They have read one scroll. There are 1,799 left. Even with AI, this is going to be a generational project.
True, but the first one is always the hardest. Now that the pipeline is established and they have the machine learning weights tuned for the specific type of volcanic damage, the throughput should increase dramatically. It's poetic, really. We are using the most advanced technology humanity has ever created to listen to voices from our distant past that we thought were silenced forever.
All right. Let's pivot and hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup. We've got a mix of hardware economics, tech policy, a tribute to a journalism legend, and a highly specific AI developer update. Let's get into it.
First up, Apple has just raised prices across its MacBooks, iPads, HomePods, and Apple TV devices, citing record high memory and storage chip costs. The budget MacBook Neo jumped from $599 to $699, and the 1TB MacBook Pro went from $1,699 to $1,999.
Apple released a remarkably blunt statement saying, quote, "We have never seen a component price increase this much, this quickly. The root cause here is the global shortage of memory chips, because manufacturers like Micron are prioritizing high-margin orders for AI data centers over consumer electronics. The massive infrastructure build-out for artificial intelligence is literally eating the physical supply chain."
It's a fascinating and somewhat alarming ripple effect. We've talked about AI consuming power grids, and now it's cannibalizing consumer hardware. Interestingly, the iPhone was excluded from these specific price hikes, though analysts expect increases for future models. Apple likely held the line on the iPhone because it's their cash cow, but they can't defy gravity forever if component costs stay this high.
Definitely. And with Microsoft also raising prices on Xbox consoles due to the same component crisis, this looks like the beginning of a broader trend. Consumers are now competing directly with trillion-dollar tech giants for the same silicon, and the tech giants have infinitely deeper pockets. Next, the push for age verification on the internet is facing some harsh realities. Australia's social media ban for users under 16 took effect in December 2025, and new research from the Australian government and the British Medical Journal shows it's largely failing, with roughly 7 out of 10 kids still using the platforms.
The core problem is that enforcing these bans requires age verification, which usually means handing over government-issued IDs or biometric data to third-party providers. Critics are calling this the "papers, please" era of the internet. It effectively ends online anonymity and creates these massive honeypots of sensitive personal data that are prime targets for leaks and hacks.
It's a classic policy dilemma. The goal is protecting minors, but the mechanism requires normalizing digital identity checks for basic internet access. It creates a slippery slope toward broader government surveillance. And given the abysmal compliance rates we are seeing in Australia, it doesn't even seem to be effective at keeping kids off social media.
Exactly. Kids are just using VPNs or borrowing older siblings' credentials. Digital rights organizations are arguing that we need a middle ground that doesn't force every single user to sacrifice their privacy and anonymity to third-party verification services just to log on to a website.
In sadder news, Om Malik, the prominent technology journalist and founder of GigaOM, passed away on June 24th at Stanford Hospital. He was 59 years old and had been dealing with long-term heart issues.
Om was truly a central figure in the rise of Silicon Valley tech journalism. He was a founding member of the Forbes.com team back in 1997 and launched GigaOM in 2001. He really defined the early blog era with his conversational, fast-paced, and deeply technically literate reporting.
He later became a venture capitalist at True Ventures, successfully bridging the gap between reporting on the industry and participating in it. He was known for his warmth and his genuine love for the mechanics of technology, famously chronicling the telecom boom and bust in his book Broad Bandits.
His passing really marks the end of a significant chapter for those of us who followed the evolution of the commercial internet from the early 2000s onward. The one-person blog model he pioneered changed media forever, and he will definitely be missed.
Finally, an interesting telemetry issue has popped up for developers using Claude Code. A new GitHub issue points out that marketplace plugin skills are being lumped together under a generic third-party tag in Datadog usage metrics, preventing granular cost attribution.
Right. Claude Code is an agentic command line tool, and it relies on these skills to interact with things like Datadog or Git workflows. Native skills, like update config, report their specific names correctly. But if you're an engineering manager trying to track token costs for third-party plugins, you just see a massive bucket labeled third-party.
This might sound like it's deep in the weeds, but as enterprises scale their use of these AI agents, tracking operational budgets is critical. If you can't prove the ROI of a specific AI plugin because its costs are hidden, it becomes very difficult to justify enterprise adoption or manage your token spend effectively.
It highlights a growing pain in the AI ecosystem. We have this rapid expansion of third-party agentic tools, but standardizing the telemetry and observability across them is still a work in progress. It's a technical oversight that Anthropics will likely need to patch soon to keep enterprise users happy.
And that's all the time we have for today's briefing. Thanks for joining us as we explored everything from ancient charred scrolls to modern supply chain economics.
If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find links to all the stories we discussed in the show notes.
We'll be back next time with more of the latest developments in AI, space, and robotics.
Until then, I'm Host A, signing off for the NoraCast Tech Briefing.